scripture reading and the following address were part of the YouTube streamed worship service from St Paul's Lutheran Church, Box Hill, Victoria, Australia, on June 30th, 2024. For more information, visit www.stpaulsboxhill.org.au.
Gospel according to Mark chapter 5. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the lake. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. And she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all round to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The sermon I'm reading today is adapted from the LCANZ resources for lay readers. Grace, peace and abundant life are ours through the triune God. Amen. The man falls to his knees. For a split second, he notices the sensation of the dry earth on his fingertips and the irritation of dust filling his nostrils, there in the posture of humility and emptiness, of begging. It's a posture at odds with his lofty standing in the community as an elder of the synagogue. He has oversight of the teaching of the scriptures and upholding the doctrines and traditions of the Jewish religion, a system meticulously regulated to the finest detail, by which it was believed that one's decisions could compel the coming of God's kingdom and earn God's favour. But none of that can help Jairus or his dear little girl now. She lies gravely ill, about to die. She is just 12. What an awful thing to happen. As we imagine what that might be like for them, it's hard not to choke up. As he kneels there before Jesus, Jairus knows that he himself can't do anything to drag his little girl from the brink of death. And it seems he believes Jesus is able to do something that the law, human piety and tradition can't. Jairus knows that all his strivings can't compel God's kingdom to come. God's kingdom has come already without his asking for it in the person of Jesus Christ. Jairus knows the only way death can be stopped is by the one before whom he kneels. My little daughter is on the verge of death. Please come and place your hands on her so that she can be healed and live. It's a gutsy move by Jairus to so publicly place himself at Jesus' mercy and confess that he has the ability to rescue from death. Jesus was seen by the leaders of Israel as a heretic and a blasphemer, someone who needed to be done away with, along with anyone else who declared allegiance to him. So Jairus could lose his job over this. Actually, Jairus could even lose his life. And Jesus goes with Jairus. What relief Jairus must have felt. He had asked Jesus for help, and he'd received it. Time is of the essence now. There is not a second to waste. But in the crowd, someone else makes a courageous move. A woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, the entire lifetime of Jairus's daughter. In that time, this woman had spent all her money trying to be healed, but no doctor had been able to help her, and her condition has only worsened. Like Jairus, she is also desperate because she is powerless in her own strength to do anything more. But she doesn't have the social standing that Jairus has to be able to influence anyone else to help her. Can you imagine how debilitating this illness was for this woman? Not only physically, but emotionally too. 12 years of suffering, of limitation, of discomfort, of embarrassment, of self-consciousness, of anxiety, of insecurity. Even worse, Leviticus 15 states that her bleeding makes her ritually unclean as long as it continues. And not just her, anything and anyone who comes into contact with her. She doesn't have a chance of encountering God in the temple, this temple that is the dwelling place of God on earth. No one else can help her. No one, that is, except Jesus. She has heard about him and makes an incredible confession of faith. If I so much as touch his clothes, I will be healed. But in the culture of the day, if a woman approached a rabbi in public, it would be a great shame for both of them. Even more so if she touched him, as if this woman is not suffering enough shame already. So the bustling crowd is actually a blessing for her. This is her big chance. Unlike Jairus, who came openly and boldly, the crowd veils the woman and gives her the opportunity to approach Jesus, but discreetly. Jesus knows someone has touched him. Turning to the crowd, he says, "Who touched my clothes?" Why does the one who knows all things ask this question? Doesn't he already know who touched him? Well, the answer is yes. And he wants what is about to happen next to be in full view. The woman, knowing what had happened, became fearful. Trembling, she came to Jesus and, like Jairus, she fell before him and told him the truth. But rather than rebuking her, Jesus says, "Daughter, Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. You are freed from your suffering. This woman believed that even by touching his clothes, she would be healed, not just physically, but spiritually, made clean from her uncleanness. And this is why Jesus gives his beautiful pronouncement. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. You are freed from your suffering. For so long, she hasn't been able to access anything holy. And now she has come to the new temple, to Jesus. Jesus takes upon himself ritual impurity, uncleanness, in order to bring life and purity to someone unable to do it for herself. But not only does he heal her physically, he also embraces her as his daughter, as part of his family, from exclusion to inclusion, full restoration. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. You are freed from your suffering. But no sooner has Jesus said this than messages come from Jairus' house with the dreadful news that no parent wants to hear. Your daughter has died. Imagine how devastated Jairus would have been. What was Jesus thinking? Why did he stop for this woman and take so long? They arrive at Jairus' house to a great commotion with weeping and loud wailing that is just so painful to hear. It turns to laughing when Jesus says to them, "Why are you making a commotion and why do you weep? This child has not died, but she is sleeping." And holding the child's hand, Jesus says to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Girl, to you I say, rise up." And immediately the girl sat up and walked about. Jesus gave Jairus something even greater than what he originally asked for. Jesus didn't just heal the little girl, but he raised her from death, bringing life with his word. But Leviticus 21 pronounces a priest who enters the house of a dead person and comes into contact with that dead person as unclean. In grasping the dead girl by the hand, Jesus again takes upon himself impurity to bring divine life and purity to someone unable to do it for herself. This can be a really hard text to hear today. Perhaps like Jairus, you are facing a situation where a loved one desperately needs healing. Or perhaps you are close, or someone close to you is like the woman battling a chronic, debilitating illness and the agony of waiting and waiting and waiting for help. And you have prayed and prayed and prayed. Perhaps it seems as though Jesus has been delayed and is taking too long to help. Why? We often don't have an answer for the why. But today's text isn't a proof text for miraculous healing whenever we ask for it. If we treat it like this, the danger is that we shift the focus to ourselves. If I just had faith like Jairus and the woman, then my loved one would receive God's favour and be healed too. I just need to pray more, have more faith and believe in God's promises. And when healing still doesn't come, the human way is to manufacture other explanations. Maybe it's God's punishment for sin, or proof of karma, some unresolved spiritual problem from the past, or maybe our faith is just not genuine enough. It puts all the responsibility for the healing back on ourselves to do something else, and then God will act. But God in Christ first seeks us and works faith in us through his word so that we can turn to him and throw ourselves before him for his merciful help. Jairus and the woman both already had faith. Faith that knew the only hope for humanity is Jesus Christ. Christ who can heal physically and restore us to wholeness with authority and power to raise and bring death out of life. Jesus' raising of Jairus' daughter points ahead to his victory over death on the cross for all people, taking upon himself the uncleanness and the impurity and the sin of the entire human race, and then dying for it, so that we might have restoration and life. There in Christ, the kingdom of God came to us before we even asked, to bring wholeness that goes beyond healing our limbs, muscles and organs, to recreating our hearts and our minds. He softens our hearts to beat with his compassion, so that from them comes words of kindness and thoughts of willingly serving others rather than being served ourselves. He leads us to seek our blind spots, showing us that we are not in control of all things and that we don't know all things. His kingdom comes to us to bring us to a posture like Jairus and the woman who touched Jesus' cloak. Rather than trust in our reputations, our capabilities, our wealth, our knowledge, or our strength, we can now kneel before Jesus as beggars and reach out for the merciful and compassionate help from God that we need. We can trust in God's power to make whole, restore, and renew in his own good and perfect time. There at ground level, in the dust at the feet of Jesus, that is when and where we are truly free. Free to let go of our own control. And he will answer us. And we know we don't always get the answers that we are hoping for. Our child is not healed. Our chronic pain is not eased. Death remains present. So where is the healing? Perhaps this healing comes to us as peace and acceptance in the face of disappointment. Perhaps it comes as an awareness of the continuing presence of God in our time of despair. We know that full restoration and healing will come one day when we too see Jesus face to face, just like the woman, just like Jairus' daughter. Until then, guard your tender hearts and hear Jesus' words. Daughter, son, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Amen.